Hello and welcome to podcast number 17 of the Queensland Freemason podcast. My name's Luke Eel and I'm here today with Graham Schultz. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. My name's Graham Schultz. I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary at the United Grand Lodge of Queensland out of Brisbane, Australia.
And this is podcast number 17 and we are doing it today on different book reviews. World of Masonry, we're sitting in the library today, appropriately, Graham, is full of thousands of books, and this is just our small library. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, there are more Masonic books than we could possibly read in a lifetime, so we hope to narrow that choice down to a couple today, and I think we're going to be talking about two books in particular, one more famous than the other, but I think both equally valuable and merit us talking about them. What book would you like to talk about today, Graham?
Well, the one that came into the library and the Grand Librarian gave me, Tony Tabrett, gave me to have a look at a couple of weeks ago is a 2010 book called Observing the Craft by a Freemason called Andrew Hammer out of Alexandria, Virginia in the United States. And this book is about the pursuit of excellence in Masonic labour and observance. You know, and what is observance really? You know, everything to be found in Andrew's book has been practiced in Masonic lodges throughout the world at one time or another, he says. But the reason the book has been written is because so many of these things have fallen out of practice in so many of our lodges, if indeed they were ever practiced in some of them. And it's the fervent desire of him, the author, that they be reconsidered, revisited and restored by those brothers who are inspired and inclined to do so. And so the intention of the book is to describe these ideas and the reason why it's believed that their practice is, indispensable to the craft. So he looks at, why does observing the craft matter? What is observance? Dealing with distractions, the pursuit of excellence in dress, ritual, the festive board and the observant lodge. But I wanted to take just a little piece out of the chapter, The Pursuit of Excellence, which I think was just really, really excellent.
Pardon the pun.
And the pursuit of excellence in every aspect of your life is what it means to observe the craft. That means seeking out more of yourself and consequently seeking more out of the craft than you might have originally done. It means a continual effort at self-development and lifelong learning, at least one part of which is manifested in physical representations of things which are themselves considered to be exceptional. So, the specific implementation of these elements will be addressed in these chapters, but for now, Andrew says, it's enough to say that as the Buddhist monk may be known by his saffron robe, his mantra rituals and his vegetarian diet, the Freemason is ideally known by his ultimate standards in Western dress, his precision in his ritual, and the traditional celebratory feast of Western culture. And to excel in these pursuits is an important part of how we observe the craft. We start by understanding that Freemasonry, unlike other social endeavours, is not for everyone and should never be offered as such. I thought that was an interesting point. And the ritual, being perfect in the ritual or trying to, pursue excellence in how we do our ritual, Andrew says, let's not be misunderstood. Obviously, what this book is calling for is the fullest realisation of both quality in ritual and in dress. But even a well-dressed man can behave like a cad. So the scenario is offered to make this important point. Without our ritual, Freemasonry is nothing more than a social club. It behoves us then to embrace our ritual with the utmost solemnity, understanding that we are guardians of a trust handed down through time, one which was crafted in order to help us with the honing of ourselves, and that's really what it's about, isn't it? That's what we do, isn't it, to try and make ourselves better?
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, it would be dinner club.
If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Andrew says it's no small task to learn the art of the ritual. It takes discipline, it takes self-control, and it takes concentration, all of which are attributes of the better man. It's a substantial effort of the mind and body, which must learn how to move and operate according to a prescribed order of events, carried out according to a specific method. I really like the book. I read it from cover to cover in one read.
Oh, wow.
I enjoyed it so much. It's called Observing the Craft. It's 2010. Andrew Hammer. out of the States, and it's available online. You can pick it up online, or you can read it from our library if you're a member of Freemasonry in Brisbane. Come and get a copy of it and catch up with it.
Excellent, Graham. I'll put a link to the book too if you can send me some details. Sure. And we'll get that up there. The thing about Masonic books is that there are so many of them, and I might be going back to a popular favourite book of ours at the moment, and that is The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown. But I don't want to just talk about the regular edition of The Lost Symbol. I happened to pick up an illustrated version of The Lost Symbol the other day. And for those that don't know, Dan Brown is an author, and I'm sure most people listening to this probably do know, the author of a lot of Masonic-related books, I guess, not specifically about Masons, but generally involving the topics and stories around us. I guess we are the source of good legends and stories over the years. But The Lost Symbol is particularly focused on Freemasonry. And it's all about basically a narrative that talks about what was lost will be found. It talks about Harvard professor Robert Langdon is summoned to deliver an evening lecture in the Capitol building in Washington. Minutes before his arrival, a gruesome discovery is made at the epicenter of the rotunda, and Langdon recognizes it as an ancient invitation, beckoning its recipient towards a long-lost world of hidden wisdom. The story goes on to, I guess, illustrate what some of the myths behind what we are talking and legends are about. But the reason why I wanted to bring up the illustrated version, unlike the movie, the illustrated version is written in a way that if you were a Mason or even a casual observer of Masonry, the illustrations themselves would provide some level of detail that you wouldn't otherwise get.
So it's not the novel. I've read the novel, so it's not that.
It's
a bigger book.
It's a bigger book.
Yeah.
It's like the novel, but full of pretty pictures. In fact, my son came up to me and goes, why am I reading a storybook?
Picture book.
Yes. I was explaining to him that adults do read storybooks, and in this case, it was the Lost Symbol. The reason why it captured my attention was there are some very specific things in there that you would not have otherwise had really time to appreciate either in a movie or in a novel. And some of those things would be, for example, like the Benjamin Franklin magic squares, where Dan Brown actually points out that there are some Masonic, history of doing things like magic squares. Ancient form of Sudoku, basically.
Okay,
These magic squares are mathematical in nature, and Benjamin Franklin, being a Freemason and a sort of person passionate about puzzles and mathematicians and mathematics, he presents this idea of a magic square, and I didn't realize until I sat down and looked at it how difficult it would have been for Franklin to actually put together such a thing. And it's one of those books that when you take time to look through it, you'll actually start to see significant pictures, significant times, significant dates. And it's showing you photos of Washington, for example, and the Masonic relevance of them. There are lots and lots of Masonic-related statues in Washington that the average person walks past never really realizing what it is that they're looking at. It might be a president who's standing in a particular position holding his hands in a particular way. It might be a particular inscription written on it, or just a simple mark of a Mason mark left on it. This book goes through the effort of basically providing you, not a photographic essay, but something similar to that, where every other page has a meaningful picture related to the story. So the story behind The Lost Symbol is one that's fairly well known now. I think that there'll either be a movie written or there'll, if there hasn't been one, I'm not much of a popular culture
soon
person.
It's coming, I think.
But you'll find that that has some very interesting information, and Dan Brown has editions of all of those illustrated editions, and we're looking at here the one I've got sitting in front of me we have in our library is The Angels and Demons, and it's got the same sort of thing.
I see, yeah.
Where you're actually seeing the sights and sounds, or not the sights, the sights and images that are provoking and asking you to think about these different things. So the Angels and Demon ones, for example, has lots of pictures of the St. Peter's Square in Rome, and you see that laid out in a fairly good way, much better than just reading it, I guess. You're actually picturing it as well, and it gives you a good idea. So there's lots of different material out there for lots of different people. I know next time a Dan Brown book comes out, I'm going to wait till the illustrated version comes out, because for me, I get to appreciate the sense of where the book is set a little bit more than the average person.
That's great. Well, did you get it online? Or?
I actually hate to say this, I'm a cheapie, and I got it at a book sale for $12.
Fantastic. So, in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. Yeah. It was one of those main booksellers who happened to have a box of books out the front that were going cheap, and clearly people don't want to read a thick illustrated book like this, but I did, and it was worth the wait.
What would they be worth, $50, $60 normally, something like that?
$60, so it has a lot of pictures. I've just randomly opened up Angels and Demon, and here you have a picture of what is purported to be an artistic impression of the Conclave of the Cardinals in the Sistine Chapel. And it's great to talk about the Conclave of the Cardinals in the Sistine Chapels, but it's really hard for people to picture if they've never been there.
Yeah, and that's an actual painting of the...
Amazing. I've been to the Sistine Chapel and I've seen where this takes place, but I've never actually would put the two together, even though I physically be there, and that picture puts me back to where we actually were there in the Sistine Chapel.
Hmm.
So I just think it's yet another example of Masonic-related information, and in this case, written by a non-Mason, that's coming across and showing people different ways of presenting our information to people.
People often say to me when we'll take a tour through the Masonic Library here, and they say, well, what sort of books are they? And I said, well, they're Masonic books and things that are traditional history about Freemasonry. Books like these, for example, that deal with Freemasonry in the current world setting, but a lot of history as well, a lot of magazines from Freemasons from all around the world, from different jurisdictions, our own magazines from all around Australia, our 150-year book of the history of Freemasonry in Queensland. You know, there's so much to see and so much to read if you've got the time.
Yeah, I'd like to guess how long it would take to read all these books, but here's just one example I've opened up to again in the Dan Brown book on In Angels and Demons, which is similar to the Lost Symbol. He has a picture, which I've never seen before, of the heliocentric model of the solar system. He can talk about what the heliocentric model is, but for people that may never have encountered that word or that idea, basically putting the sun at the centre of our solar system and the Earth rotates around it, a very controversial idea a while ago, but less controversial now.
It looks like the Higgs boson thing to me.
It does a little. I wonder how that fits into things. But look, there's plenty of material out there, and we'd always suggest as Masons who have different stations in life and different understandings of how we learn things is to pick up a bit of material that you're interested in and engage with that. I personally like listening to audio, hence the podcast. Graham clearly likes reading books if he can sit down and chew through that one in one sitting. Other people might prefer to watch documentaries, films, etc. There's plenty of material in all of those spaces. So until next time we hear the podcast, pick up a good Masonic book and take a read for Masons and non-Masons. Till next one, stay on the level.